Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
The Community Martin Luther King Celebration is this Sunday, 3 to 5 at James Monroe High School. Every year we preview it and talk about what to expect, and we're going to do that this morning. Xavier Richardson, as usual, is here, and Aaron DuBynes, the pastor at Shiloh Old Site in Fredericksburg, is here. Good morning to both of you. Thank you for coming in this morning.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Xavier, we have done this, I think, every year, and I really look forward to getting together with you and just talking Martin Luther King in this particular event.
Likewise, and I'm particularly pleased to have Reverend DuBynes here with us because he is an expert on Dr. King.
We'll jump right into that. Aaron, you were here a couple of years ago, I remember, and we talked about this, and you really have studied Dr. King and know a lot about him, and have been a real resource on this and other things in this community.
Well, thank you. Dr. King's life was short, 39 years, but his impact exceeded those years, and it continues to this day. And I think it's important that we look at his life and his legacy, and not just from a historical standpoint, but there are a lot of things that are worth imitating to help make the world a better place, especially as it relates to issues around the beloved community that he was so much working towards.
Well, and this program has been so good because it includes a lot, it includes kids reading some of his words.
Right.
And every year I hear something and you pull something out of something that he's written that you didn't realize, oh, he wrote – either that he wrote it, or you just think how profound it is, or how it really fits what we're dealing with today.
Absolutely. A lot of the problems and a lot of the issues that were relevant during his lifetime are still relevant. And I would say 100 years from now they'll still be relevant, because sometimes people tend to be territorial – and they tend to be clannish, but they don't recognize the importance of reaching beyond the boundaries of self and one's own specified community to see themselves as a part of a larger community, the community of human beings.
Boy, and Xavier, that's what you've tried to do with this program, just to bring the community together and have us look outside of our own communities.
Precisely. And even sometimes we may repeat some of the quotes, but each year they seem to have a different significance because of the things that are going on within our community. And we particularly want to include young people, as you mentioned, because if this legacy is to continue beyond our lives, we need to make sure our young people grow up as we did, believing and understanding the philosophy of Dr. King, because there's so much relevance to our lives and continues to be. So sometimes historical figures are often forgotten because their relevance seems to be outlived, or we're not reminded of it. But this celebration is a way for us to continue that rich legacy of Dr. King.
Dr. DuBynes, how did you – I mean, you've done a lot of studying of like we said, of Dr. King. And how was it that you decided to go down that path and really focus in on him?
Well, I like to think that I was born to do this. I was born in Perry County, Alabama, which is the home of his wife, Coretta Scott King, who was also from that area, also Andy Young's wife and Ralph Abernathy's wife. Each of those persons independently married women from my small, tiny county. Shout out to Perry County, Alabama.
Isn't that something?
County seat, Marion, Alabama. I'm from the little village of Sprott, Alabama. And my uncle and my father, who were World War II and Korean War veterans, they were committed to what you call double V, especially with the World War II soldiers. And that was victory in the battlefront of whoever the enemy of the U.S. was fighting in World War II, but also victory back home. They said we fought for freedoms on foreign soil for all Americans, because we are Americans. Our blood was spilled in every war that has ever been fought from Boston to today. So why can't we have victory also back in Alabama and other places and end segregation? And so they had looked at death. My father spent a year in the hospital, wounded from his wounds in the Korean War. So he came back. Death didn't bother him as much. It was like, if I have to die to help make things better, then so be it. Hmm. And so that's my personal family legacy, and I feel very connected to it. I had a chance to meet Mrs. King, to hear her a couple of times. And the thing that I'm so impactful, that impacted me so much, is that, as Xavier has picked up, there are a number of persons that whose names we do not know. Those foot soldiers, all those names that are not household words, who, if Dr. King was here today, he would tell you, don't put the spotlight on me, but put the spotlight on these people who lived, breathed, and many died in those communities because they were committed to making it a better place for everybody.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, what do you think that he would, and you kind of, you answered that with, you know, how would he look upon how his mm-hmm. Everything around Martin Luther King Day, because he did seem like, even though he had a very fiery personality, but also was just didn't have the personality that, I mean, he did what he had to do, what right. he felt like he had to do.
Right. I mean, Dr. King was in a sports analogy, a team player.
Yeah.
And there's no I in team. He always sought to put the spotlight on other people, but because of his brilliance, because of his eloquence, because of his role at the Montgomery Improvement Association's march in 1955, and those 381 days that brought down the segregated bus system, of course he became a world-renowned figure. I mean, a Nobel Prize winner, all of those things, the books that came forth. And so it's easy to rally around that person who seems so central, but he would always say, if you look at his works and read his statements, he would always point to other people who were just a part of, who was just as much a part of it. And a lot of times he came in and took the spotlight, but not intentionally, but because, well, you know, it was a double-edged sword. But he recognized that there were people in Fredericksburg, which Xavier has been honoring and remembering and calling to our attention. There are people everywhere. There are people who have not even told their own story to family members.
Hmm.
And Xavier has just a story as he's and some of the people that he's honoring this week.
Indeed, and we're not releasing the names of the honorees because it's going to be a complete surprise. But in talking to the daughter of one of the honorees, she indicated that her mom had always told her to be very careful about things such as protest and all, and be careful being involved in things like that. And going through some family photographs, she actually found her mom. And a photograph with a picket sign, and also her mom was involved in a walkout on a graduation ceremony because of the location was segregated, and they decided they were going to have a graduation elsewhere. So there are a lot of hidden figures in this community that we're going to try to highlight too, because there are a lot of foot soldiers. There are a lot of people who've worked behind the scenes to ensure that the movement was a civil one here in the community, but we had to make our presence known as well in order to ensure that Fredericksburg became that beautiful community that it is and one that embraced all people.
I want to talk a little bit more about that when we come back. Xavier Richardson is here. Aaron Dubines is here. He's the pastor at Shiloh Old Site. Xavier was, among other things, with the Fredericksburg Area Partnership for Academic Excellence. The Community Martin Luther King Celebration this Sunday. It's at JM. It is from 3 to 5, and you will not want to miss it. We'll continue to talk about it, and we'll talk about the program, too, as we go along this morning that you can expect. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
The Community Martin Luther King Celebration this Sunday, 3 to 5 at James Monroe High School, is a free event. Xavier Richardson and Aaron Dubines here this morning to talk about it. Before we took the break, Xavier, you were talking about honoring some of the hidden figures in this area. And boy, that's really exciting to hear because there are so many. And I often wonder that we're really lucky in this point that we have these treasures that aren't always going to be here.
Indeed. And what we wanted to do was something a little different this year because we feel that we need to make the celebration more local, and we need to pay tribute also to those foot soldiers here in the Fredericksburg area who supported the civil rights movement. And we know that there's been a lot of talk about Hidden Figures after the book and then the phenomenal movie this year. So we decided that we would honor some of these people through a Hidden Figure Award. And these persons are not the ones who may be written down in the history of Fredericksburg as it mm-hmm. relates to the Civil Rights Movement, but these are persons who provided tremendous support to the Civil Rights Movement who otherwise would not be recognized. And they represent well the general population of the community that supported the Civil Rights Movement. And these persons have no idea that they will be recognized, and we will recognize four different individuals on Sunday who had different roles in the Civil Rights Movement, and we're very fortunate to have these persons still alive. And we hope to continue to recognize similar persons in the future, and eventually we'll recognize those persons who are presently carrying out the principles and ideals and the dream of Dr. King.
Well, it's been a in some ways in the past year since the last since the last program. There's the Martin Luther King Bridge that goes over I-95 over by Mayfield.
Yes, and we're very pleased that that has occurred, and certainly Councilman Chuck Fry, who was instrumental in that having that approved as a member of the City Council of Fredericksburg, will be a part of the program as well, and this time he can say that the bridge has been named.
Yeah, so yeah, over in Fall Hill Avenue, not Mayfield, but yeah, no, but right. that was an exciting that was really when right. when they dedicated that late summer was really an exciting moment.
Indeed, and it was well attended, and we think quite an appropriate recognition of Dr. King, and it was. The bridge symbolizes many things, and one of the things that he helped to do is bridge different segments of the community, and we wanted to make sure that he had an appropriate recognition here in the community.
Aaron, I guess you're not this year, but in past years, you've done some of Dr. King's readings, and boy, I always have looked forward to that, and I guess partly for a whole lot of reasons, but just as you read it, just your interpretation of his readings is always moving, and I guess having studied him like you have, there is and just your own life experiences make his words more than just words on a page.
Well, thank you very much. His words are quite moving, and they speak to the now. They're very relevant in this age, and so it's important that we look at his works. When I talk to people, I tell them Dr. King wrote a lot. He was a PhD in systematic theology. He wrote four books. They're still available and they're still relevant. People have written about him extensively. Those works are worth reading. And the tremendous lessons that are worthwhile to be passed on is that we're not just fighting for black civil rights, we're fighting for the rights of all human beings. Because Dr. King famously said, either we work together and hang together, or we hang separately.
Yeah.
And so it's important that it's understood as not just a black thing, but a humanitarian thing. And one of the things that I'm very proud of that Xavier has done this year, is, again, with the Hidden Figures, is recognize there are people out there who contributed to the civil rights movement who don't even know that they're considered to be a part of that movement. There were people who gave meals, provided meals for people who came into town. There were people who gave money. Going back to Alabama, and particularly Selma in my area where I grew up, there are stories of a number of white people who could not publicly say that they were with the movement, but they would say, come out to my house, and there's an envelope in my mailbox. Hmm. And there was money to help get people out of jail, help to feed people, help to continue the movement. So all of those persons are important. Again, they may not even see themselves as a part of it because they weren't marching, because they weren't on stage, because they didn't have a placard in their hand or in their yard, whatever. But they, without their efforts, the movement would not have been successful then. So it's going to take that kind of effort in the future to ensure that we continue with this beloved community of enlarging and reaching out to everyone.
I remember, Xavier, when you were here a year ago, the Hidden Figures movie had just come out, and neither one of you hadn't seen it, and I hadn't seen it yet. And boy, it's just I've seen it I think three or four times. It's just such a moving movie.
Indeed, and actually I took a group of students from the Kappa League at James Monroe High School to the movie, and it was just amazing what the attention that that they gave to the movie and how it really captivated their attention. And it was quite a learning experience, and it had a lot of, you know, sentimental meaning to me as well. I worked for John Glenn on his staff in the past, and actually had a photograph of my family and John Glenn and his family at his home. And so I sent it around to some of the kids during the movie and to see if they could figure out who it was, because the picture was taken over 20 years ago. And they were amazed that I knew Senator Glenn. But more importantly, it had a lot of relevance to me as well, because these women were mathematicians, and that was what my mother wanted to be.
Remember, you told me that.
Yeah, and she never had a chance to, even though she was the salutatorian of her class at John J. Wright High School. There weren't many opportunities for African-American women to go to college, and to see these women living out the dream that my mother had had a lot of relevance to me as well. So that's why we chose the title Hidden Figures, because as Reverend Dovine said, there are a lot of people who could not, sometimes could not be out there, could not afford to be out there, or had to work, or could not risk their jobs, or because of race, they could not be openly supportive. But we want to recognize those persons now. And I might add that even though Reverend Dovine will not be reciting one of Dr. King's speeches on Sunday, more importantly, he will be the keynote speaker at a NAACP Martin Luther King prayer breakfast on the following morning. So you'll hear his very own words. That will be at Walker Grant Middle School from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock a.m. And tickets are still available for $25 if people want to support it. You can secure tickets by calling 540-220-4832. 540-220-4832, and that's for the Martin Luther King prayer breakfast, which will be at Walker Grant Middle School on Monday morning. And again, Dr. Dovine will be the keynote speaker there.
That's got to be an honor for you to get to do. I mean, I know any opportunity in the community you get to talk about Dr. King and talk about unity, you're always there.
It's a great honor to be asked to speak, but especially in your home.
Yeah.
Jesus famously said that a prophet is without honor in his own hometown. I'm not a prophet, but I'm thankful and appreciative that the people in Fredericksburg, my new home and new community for almost 4 years now, entrust me with the opportunity to speak to that crowd with the NAACP prayer breakfast.
Xavier, we've talked about this, the Community Martin Luther King Celebration now. Like we said, as long as you've had it, you and Susan Spears came in the early years of it. And I remember last year you telling me, because in the last few years you've made some changes, and especially this year have made some changes. It's really interesting to see how it has become very locally tied. It always was, but even more so.
Indeed, and we're trying to bring in more segments of the community as our community becomes more diverse. For instance, on Sunday we'll have a couple of presentations from the Burundian community, a community of African refugees who have located in this community of Fredericksburg, who become actively engaged and been heavily supported by Dr. Larry Hahn and the members of Fredericksburg Baptist Church. And historically they have been out of town on this holiday, and many of them are going to be out of town in Detroit. Their choir and dance troupe were performing. But I have one young man who I've mentored, and he's a member of the congregation. And he said, "I'll try to pull together a couple of friends." And the group has grown to maybe 20 now of young people who want to perform on that day. They will be singing and dancing, and then there will be also a poem that's been written by this young man, Nehemiah Abel, who is now a student at the University of Mary Washington, and another African student about I Am Africa. And we need to embrace all elements of our community, and I think that's what Dr. King would have been doing. If he were alive, he would be actively engaged in supporting the resettling of refugees in our community, because he believes that everyone should be accorded certain basic freedoms and privileges. So we feel very pleased to include the Burundian community in the celebration this year.
Well, and if you haven't attended at the end when everyone on get all the people have been presenters, lock arms on stage and close with "We Shall Overcome." And it's every year just a really moving moment. I get goosebumps even thinking about it.
Indeed.
And you've done that really from the start too.
From the very start, and we include all those persons who participated in the program, all those affiliated with the sponsoring organization, and I always extend an invitation to any persons in the audience who participated in the civil rights movement, because we're able to celebrate this because of their efforts. So it is a very moving and an appropriate closing as well.
It's dance, music, Dr. King's words. It's the Community Martin Luther King Celebration, 3 to 5, Sunday at James Monroe High School. More coming up this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is now coming up on 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubert.
We're talking about the Community Martin Luther King Celebration. It's this Sunday at JM. It's from 3 to 5. Xavier Richardson here. Aaron Dubine's here. Aaron, the pastor of Shiloh Old Site Baptist. Xavier is with the, among other things, the Fredericksburg Area Partnership for Academic Excellence. Aaron, you're wearing your Alabama hat. You're from Alabama.
And, Roll Tide.
These are proud times for those of you in Alabama.
And there's a strong connection, of course.
Yeah,
with Alabama and civil rights and Dr. King, of course.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been a few years since you've been in, and I need to get you in sometime to talk about that, because you've got just stories and connections to civil rights that are just fascinating and a real treasure for this community now to be able to hear a lot of this firsthand from you.
Well, thank you so much. I'd be glad to share.
Now a double doctorate. Since you last came here, he earned another doctorate. But his first doctorate was on Dr. King. So he's not just one who knows anecdotes, but he's quite a scholar.
Yeah. I didn't know you were a double. So we'll work something out and get you back to talk more about civil rights. Xavier, dance, music, Dr. King's words, that's the one staple of this. And as we mentioned, you get kids from area high schools coming in to read. It's a fast moving but really an informative program.
Indeed, and it keeps growing each year, and we have to make sure that people stick to their time limit, because we want to get it all in and get everyone out in a half an hour. And there are activities going on even before the program begins, because we have activities for younger children, which is sponsored by the University of Mary Washington James Farmer Center. So we have volunteer students working with kids. So it's an event for people of all ages, and we try to make sure that the entertainment and the remarks and the participation reflect the diversity of the community as well as the diversity of the audience in terms of ages. So, well, typically everyone finds something in it that they enjoy. So we have dancers of all ages, from the youngest to the more seasoned, and likewise we have great music. Donna Amstead Wolfhart, is well known in this community, and the voices of the gospel will be rendering the music, as well as her brother, Keith Armstead, who is a local gospel recording artist. And we also have a special treat by Dr. Dobon's own daughter, who is quite a talented vocalist and a high school senior who will be soon leaving this community. And she was actually selected last year to be a student in the highly coveted Governor's School for the Gifted for Performing Arts. And she's now, fortunately, in this community this weekend, too, because she's been out on the road quite a bit auditioning with some top schools and colleges for her next 4 years of academic study. So that will be a special treat as well to have students, again, from all ages and persons from all ages participating in this great program.
Well, I know, Xavier, you're one who has given back so much to this community. I mean, and your story. I mean, you're one who talks about the sacrifices that others made, so that you were able to achieve what you've been able to achieve.
Indeed, I truly believe that, in the words in African proverb, that we stand tall because we stand on the shoulders of those who've come before us. And certainly, I feel very blessed to have grown up in this community and to have been really, really well supported by this community. Now, I will tell you honestly, I never expected to come back to this community because I had a high school government teacher who said Fredericksburg was so backwards and slow to change because the last time George Washington left, he told the people of Fredericksburg, don't do anything until I returned, and they're still waiting. Well, thank God, I think we've gotten the word and we are more progressive. But even when I was away, I felt compelled to give back because I knew that others had given to me, and I believe unto whom much is given, much is required. But even while volunteering in New York City, I knew that I was giving back, but it was not like giving back to my own community. But I believe that you need to give back wherever you are. And interestingly enough, the person who really got me involved in what I'm doing now, particularly as it relates to young people, was Dr. Y.T. Walker, who was the chief of staff for Martin Luther King. He was my pastor, and he asked me if I would be interested in becoming a leader in the church. And I said, sure, because I always said, you know, that I would give back. And I remember my second year of business school, I said, Lord, if you just get me through this, thou will be done, whatever it is you ask me to do. And so when he asked me to become a leader, I said, sure. But I was a little surprised at what he wanted me to do. Working on Wall Street and with an MBA from Harvard, I thought he wanted me to be a trustee or a finance person. But he said, I want you to be the dean of youth. I said, dean of youth, what is that? That's working with 250 inner city Harlem teenagers in terms of their spiritual development, their academic development, social development, all those things. And I immediately said to myself, I don't even know if I like teen. Then I remember, thy will be done. Okay, Lord, are you playing a joke on me, asking me to do this? But I surrendered. And that was the beginning of over almost 35 years now of working with young people, the first 5 years or so in Harlem, and then the last 30, coming up on the last 30 years here in Fredericksburg.
Boy, and you have continued it. I always tell the story of seeing you years ago at a track meet, and all these kids around you and wanting to talk to you about this and that. And to each one, you'd ask each of them, so how are you doing with – how's school going? Tell me what your grades are.
Right.
And I still say – I saw you at a JM football game. It was a cold night, and you're out there inappropriately dressed. You needed a heavier jacket that night.
Well, I want everybody to see how much weight I lost. I suffered afterwards.
But you're there with those kids even today, and I see it all the time, and they gravitate to you, and you show just a real interest and a love for them.
Indeed, I think it's a gift from above, and I think that, you know, like Jesus, you know, you have to meet people where they are to bring them to where they need to be. So I'm where the kids are, whether it be at Pizza Hut at 12 o'clock at night or in the mall with them, wherever. It's funny that at age 60 now, they're not ashamed to have me around them. But it's a little funny sometimes when I'm in different environments, like at their colleges or whatever, and these kids, their friends will say, who is this old grandfather that you guys are hanging with? I don't realize how old I am because I'm so naturally inclined to work with young people. And the greatest blessing is that I see the impact of it, and the greatest compliment is flattery is when they ask, how did you reach out to us and have that impact on us, because we want to do the same thing. I have a young man who's a coach at Elon College, and he once called me and said, hey, how did you get us to open up and talk and cry and share with you what was going on, the real conversations we were having with ourselves? Because I know the blocking and tackling parts of coaching, but I want to be able to reach them. I want to go from being a good coach to being a great coach. So it's really a blessing, and this is my way of giving back to this community.
Yeah. Boy, and Aaron, that's the kind you hear Xavier and you see his life, and you just think those are the things we've talked about earlier that Dr. King talked about.
Absolutely. One of Dr. King's favorite songs embodies what Xavier is talking about right now. If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can show somebody they're traveling wrong, if I can cheer somebody with a word or song, then my living will not be in vain. So we've been blessed to be a blessing. Otherwise, it's buried in a box with you because you can't take it with you. So if you really love yourself and what you're trying to do and aspire to do, plant the seed that somebody else planted in you so that it continues to grow even after you're no longer bodily and physically here. And that's what Xavier is doing, and it has tremendous, tremendous stories that are coming forth. These are a number of kids who have been written off, who never thought about college, mm-hmm. never thought about this was something available to them, because many of them are first-generation college. Some of them have had some run-ins with the law and those kinds of things that would have suggested that they would in no wise be on the path that they were on. But somebody, and that somebody in this room is Xavier Richardson, invested in them and said, this is where you are. This has happened. Let's be real about it. But this is what you can do to change that narrative. And he's been a very tangible part of so many young people's lives and making them better and helping them to realize that their dreams, personal dreams, can come true.
Now, and Xavier, you've been doing it for years, and I think of the effort that Doris Buffett a few years ago started, and has that's helped a lot of people. There are a lot of opportunities now. Indeed. In this community.
Indeed, and what we try to do is bring hope to those who don't have hope. I give the example of a young man who now has me going to church two locations on a given Sunday in the morning at 8 o'clock at Reverend Dovine's church, because this young man wanted to go to church and loves the messages that he gets there. And this young man came from Southeast D.C. His mother's currently incarcerated, his father's incarcerated, and his grandmother's incarcerated, and the other one is handicapped. He thought his life would probably end by the time he was 25 to 30 years old, because everyone around him was dying. But when he moved here, he began to have hope. And he became a phenomenal athlete. And last year, as a sophomore in high school, he received a full athletic scholarship to the University of Virginia. So his life is on a totally different trajectory. Yeah. And just last week, he was in Dallas, Texas, in the Army Combine for high school students, where I think it's only 100 players, two from the state of Virginia. He was one of those. And that's a young person who I work very closely with on an almost daily basis, but you can see the fruits of the efforts, and he wants to succeed, and now he has the hope because he now lives in Fredericksburg as opposed to Southeast D.C., and this community is wrapping around and providing him support.
That's exciting to hear, and just to know that there are all kinds of stories like
that. Exactly, and that's just one of many, many.
Yeah. One of the things, Aaron, a lot of people who this is really an event that if you can make it out, you ought to go and do it, and not just take this coming weekend and look at it as a 3-day weekend to learn about the day, learn about the man. And this is something that's right in our backyard that we get a chance to do.
Right. This is how you keep Dr. King's dream alive. This is how we all invest in it and put our nuances onto that dream from a 21st century perspective. This was not a dream that exclusively belonged to Dr. King. It belongs to all of us who are interested in making the world a better place. It belongs to all of us who are willing to meet the challenges that are before us to ensure that we leave the world a little better than it was when we received it, and not just look at things as they are. It was Robert Francis Kennedy, one of the persons who said, some men see things as they are and say, why? But I dream things that never were and say, why not? And so we need persons in the 21st century to not only just come and clap our hands and applaud what Dr. King did mm-hmm. in his short 39 years, but what are we going to do today, and how can we apply some of the principles of Dr. King and others to make the world the kind of place that it needs to be, to even be willing to accept the challenges, to take the criticism. One of the things that people often forget is that at the time of Dr. King's death, he was maligned. He was not embraced because of his views on the Vietnam War, because he had expanded from the civil rights movement to a human rights movement. And there were people who Time magazine named him Man of the Year in 64 after the Nobel Prize. But later on, as he got closer to his death, they were calling him a pariah, because they thought he was out of his place as a preacher, stay in the pulpit, stay with civil rights. But now you're talking about the Vietnam War and the $80 million that was being spent per day. And Dr. King said how that money could have been spent to develop inner cities and make our own country better. And so it's not just about Dr. King. It's about us getting involved, just like the people around him got involved, to do what we can to do what Xavier's doing to make the community better today.
Xavier, do you remember where you were when the day he was shot, or when the news came out?
Yes, actually, I was out. I think I was about 12 years old, and I was out knocking on doors in my neighborhood of Mayfield, getting people to sign a petition to support open housing, because at that time there was not free and open housing for this community, and there were laws that and policies rather that allowed landlords and to deny persons of color the opportunity to live in their communities, and so I was out collecting signatures for that. I'll never forget it.
Aaron, do you remember where you were?
I was 5 years old. I remember it was April 5th, the next day, when my grandfather and his best friend, another, they were both deacons at the same local church in Perry County, Alabama, and they were talking together, and I overheard my grandfather's friend say, "They shot King last night. They shot King last night." And that event was pivotal with me in terms of why would anybody want to shoot a person that, in my 5-year-old mind,
yeah,
who was doing good, you know, that just, and that stayed with me and probably was the seminal moment that changed my life forever. And I, from that point on, wanted to know more about Dr. King, and I began to study his life and his words even at that age and older, and I really immersed myself in it. And once I entered ministry.
The Community Martin Luther King Celebration is this Sunday. It's from 3 to 5 at James Monroe High School. Aaron Dubines, the pastor at Shiloh Old Site Baptist in Fredericksburg, here this morning, along with Xavier Richardson with the Fredericksburg Area Partnership for Academic Excellence. We will wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
We're talking about the Community Martin Luther King Celebration. It is this Sunday, 3 to 5 at James Monroe High School. Xavier Richardson and Aaron Dubines here this morning. Aaron, the pastor at Shiloh Old Site. Xavier with the Fredericksburg Area Partnership for Academic Excellence. And Aaron has done done academic work and studied Dr. King, which really gives you a unique perspective on all this. Of his writings, is there anything, any of his speeches, anything that he's written that is especially your favorite, Aaron?
Well, like many people, I Have a Dream.
Yeah.
But also, I like the Mountaintop Speech, his last public address, and his number of books, Where Do We Go From Here, and works by people who studied him extensively, to include Michael Eric Dyson, to include scholars from Stanford, Dr. Carson, and others whose names evade my memory right now early in the morning. You haven't offered me any coffee. But the number of works out there and people who are taking up the banner and doing what they need to do today.
As you look at this community and you look at this program, you just think every year it becomes more and more relevant.
Right.
And you just hope that people take advantage of the opportunity that this program and then just the number of programs and opportunities they are in this community.
Right. The big thing for me is that I tell people is don't take Dr. King out of the mothballs for this time and then put him back in mothballs. Keep him out and reread his works, look at his life, and then allow those principles to become a part of your own life so that you become an agent for change to make the world a better place. It's not just about accolades to a man who's not now dead, but it's how can my life be impacted the way his life was impacted so that I can do something to make the world a better place.
But and Xavier, for if all you do is just for a couple of hours this long weekend, this is 3 to 5 on Sunday, it's worth it.
Indeed it is. And it is free.
Yeah.
So it's cost is not an issue, and we will have great refreshments. So food is not a reason not to be there as well. And this was a slogan for many years is that, you know, the King holiday is not a day off, but a day on. And we need to all recommit ourselves to living the legacy of Dr. King and ensuring that the dream is realized more and more each day.
And as you mentioned, it really is a chance to honor this year four people who don't even know they're getting it, a Hidden Figures Award.
Indeed. And I think that we need to salute these people. And I think that even people who will know these individuals will be surprised by some of their stories, too. And we won't be able to tell all of their stories, but at least they will know that they need to appreciate these individuals because we're able to benefit certain freedoms in this community because of those efforts as well.
Well, and you get a number of students from area high schools. Is it usually high schools, or do you get into middle schools too?
Some middle school students this year from an organization called Jack and Jill, and then there will be some high school students who are students of mine, and then we have some college students as well from UMW, and then we have the administrator, the president from Germana, Dr. Janet Gullickson, who's new to the community, and Dr. George Parker, who is the superintendent of schools in Caroline County. Both are relatively new to the community,
yeah.
So we always try to bring in new community leaders, too, to share their perspectives and introduce them to our local community.
Well, this has really become the Sunday afternoon the Sunday afternoon of Martin Luther King weekend. This has really become the event around here, and the auditorium at JM is usually fairly full.
Yes. And it's large enough to accommodate 1,200 people, so don't think that there's not room for you.
There is still room. And, again, Monday morning, the NAACP prayer breakfast, so that's at Walker Grant?
Walker Grant Middle School.
And Aaron Dubines will be the speaker there. 220-4832 was the number you gave earlier for tickets, 220-4832. I won't ask you to give away what your message is, but I know it will be terrific.
And those tickets are only $25 each.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you both for coming. Thank you both for what you mean for this event and also in the community. This is great stuff, and I look forward to having you both back separately and different things this year.
Indeed, and thank you again for inviting us. And it's always great to have my co-chair of this event here with me too, Reverend Aaron Dubines.
Community Martin Luther King Celebration. It's Sunday, 3 to 5 at James Monroe High School. Make sure you go. Thank you both again, and we'll see you
thank
Sunday
you.
And
see you
soon.
Sunday, indeed.
That is it for Town Talk. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting.